Our text this morning is Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, where Paul salutes himself and recognizes to the people that he's speaking to them as a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. I beseech you, therefore, as a prisoner of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who would receive a letter from a prisoner? Who would pay attention to something that a prisoner has said or written? Here's a person who is a prisoner, not due to crimes that are done, not due to mistakes that are made, not due to sins that have been rendered, although he finds himself saying that he was chief among sinners. But Paul is one who recognizes the fact that he is there in prison for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's teaching differently than the practices of the Jewish system of his time. He's different than the Herod system of Pilate and all of them of the Roman system. And thus he is placed in prison. And now here at Rome, he writes back to these folks, and he writes to these folks from prison as a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, secondly, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You have a vocation. Each of us has a vocation of life to make a living. We may be people who are farmers. We may be people who are dairymen. We may be people who are cattlemen or timbermen. We may be people who are woodworkers or steel workers or whatever. We may be individuals who do retail shops and the like that. There's all the kinds of involvement about making a living in life, a vocation. And we know the benefits of being true to that vocation. We know that you can't just spend thrift money and have it to be available for you when you need it in a business or in a line of work like that or in a family rearing situation. And so we understand that there is to be a kind of concern about where things go and what's happening in that way of life. It's a vocation of life. A nurse in a vocation, or a doctor, or a minister in a vocation, he can't just all of a sudden pick up anything and do anything with it, but rather has to be according to the dictates of that particular chemical, or that particular expectation, that particular examination. All that goes along with it is a part of his true ethical vocation. And here he talks about the vocation of the servant of God. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. There's a certain way in which we might behave that would not be ethical of that person who's walking the vocation of claiming to serve the Lord. For in fact, that way of life would not be a service of the Lord. Foolish and foolish would be the ways of life, and foolhardy would be the ways of life for some. And they would say, I'm serving the Lord, and in fact, the business, they're not walking worthy of that vocation. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. And he mentions, with all lowliness of mind, when we find ourselves being humble people in life, not proud and not arrogant, not spiteful of individuals, but to be individuals who are lowly in mind, able to talk and discuss with one another, able to grow in that discussion. None of us, no matter how long we may have preached, some 55 years or so now, I know everything. Nor should you think I know everything, but rather be lowly in mind and in our ways. Be meek in our qualities of life, he says. In lowliness of mind and in meekness, we need to be people who have those attitudes that surround this vocation of life. No one respects that vocation of life being lived in a haughty manner or in a manner in which it is just not conducive of humility, but to rather be lowly in mind and humble in spirit, being an individual who is be people who just endure something that is called upon him to do. Be a person who is faithful, don't quit, don't cease to serve the Lord, but be an individual who goes on in a forbearing way so that we serve the way of the Lord. He says, endeavoring therefore to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Our study this month is the idea about religious division and religious unity, and how this unity is to be preserved in the bond of peace, he says. Don't be a person who embraces it with an idea that I've got to do this because it's just my work and my will and my way, and I'll be as ugly as I can to others about it, and I'll be as anxious as I can about holding on to it. rather be a person who honors this way of life. We endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Be a person who enjoys this. This is the way of God. This is the way of the Lord to our lives. And then he goes on to tell us seven great ones. And those ones get in the way of religious people since that day on which this was spoken. There would be a variety of religions that would come along and various religious divisions that would take place. When the Apostle Paul addressed the thought of division in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, he tells them, "To you that are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. They'll be put away." Sad is going to be that case and that situation of those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We try to prepare for people to obey the gospel. We try to show faith. We try to have them to be as comfortable as it can be. You and I know that we can baptize in cold water. Many of you may have been baptized in a pond of cold water in days gone by. But if we can have it a little bit differently, if we can have it a little bit more comfortable, we like to do that. We like to be ready for people to obey the gospel. We like to have some clothes that are there and made available for them to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's a precious thing. The Lord didn't say that, "Well, when everything is just right, when everything is just comfortable in temperature and everything, obey my word." Rather, he said, "Those that do not know God and those do not obey the gospel will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. They'll be put away, and from the glory of his power they'll be put away." And we don't need to be people like that. We need to help people at whatever the time is, be it comfortable, be it good temperature or not, to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's something to be done.